Today we are talking about peace. So about a few years ago, I had an argument with a gentleman who attended here, and he told me that my job on Sunday mornings was to entertain him and inspire him. And I said, I listened to him, and I was trying to be as polite as I could, but I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm too old to be horsing around with that stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm here to teach, to lead these worship services. He said, well, I don't get anything out of the worship. And I said, that's okay, we're not worshiping you. Well, he doesn't attend here anymore. But I think it was a worthwhile transition because we're not here to be entertained or inspired. We're here to worship and to learn. And we need to keep that in mind at all times. If you're looking for somebody to entertain you, you come to the wrong spot, because I'm not very entertaining, just ask any of my children. So, speaking of children, you know, I have raised five of them, and one batch was twins. Diane, I sometimes have called her Fertile Myrtle, because she popped out twins, and that they were preemies, and that gave us a lot of extra work. And one of the things that she would do, you know, little kids can get upset for absolutely no reason. They don't speak English. They speak whatever. And they can't tell you what's bugging them, and I'm not sure they even want to. So Diane would just pick them up and say, calm in the soul, calm in the soul. And if that didn't work, it's amazing. Some of the times they would calm down. She does that to the grandkids now. It's amazing. They'll snuggle up in there and that's it. They're asleep in no time. But with twins, it didn't work. So they both decided to be awake at the same time. They both, you know, have the problems. I say, and I've always had an office attached to the house, so I'd hear this and I'd walk through the door and I'd say, "Who's crying and what for?" And sometimes I'd get, you know, good information on that. But little kids are pretty simple. They don't like to have dirty diapers. And that can be scary for a guy. You know, I grew up with animals, and so I had all kinds of smells. But the smell of a dirty diaper on a baby, for some reason, I'd lose my breakfast immediately. And it was one of the strangest things. I just couldn't change him. That was John. That was our oldest. I couldn't change him. One of the elders in my church in South Dakota gave me the solution. He said, go into town, go to the drugstore, and buy a box of cheap cigars. Then come back home, because I was a single dad at the time, come back home and go into the smallest room in your house, light the cigar, and then take the kid in there and change the diaper. You won't even notice it. You know, that worked. I became the master of clean diapers. But they don't really holler unless they need a diaper change, or they don't holler if they got a full belly and if they feel safe. And they let you know when they're frustrated or anxious. Now, I've learned a diversion tactic over time. When I was 11 years old, I was blessed with a little sister, and when I was 12, I was blessed with a little brother. My dad said, this is what you call the rhythm method. But that's what we had in our house, and so I did a lot of babysitting when I was 11 years old. I found out that diversion is probably the best thing for crabby little kids, you know, because they'd be screaming, and I'd go out, look at the puppy. And I even did that with Jamie, our youngest, because she was horrible at going to sleep at night. And I had a poster like this of puppies in the house. And I said, look at the puppies. And she'd forget what she's crying about. With the other kids, I'd say, are the horse, you know, my brother or sisters, are the pigs, are the cows. And that even, you know, I did that with my little brother and sister. I did it with my own kids. My oldest son, John, his first word was huss, because I had a horse in my backyard at the time, and I'd take him to show, oh, look at the horse. And with Jamie, it was squirrels and dogs. And at night, if she was having a really bad night, we'd go outside, "Where's the moon?" And she'd look all over the place for the moon, but she'd forget what she was bawling about. Worked like a charm. So it happened every time. I don't get a lot of offers to work in a nursery, but it was effective with my own children. Now, lots of effort goes into managing frustration in all of our lives and anxiety. How do we usually manage that? You know, did you know that Michigan is in the top 10 per capita of alcohol consumption in the states of the United States? We use alcohol to manage anxiety. Some of us use tobacco. Some use drugs, both legal and illegal. Some use exercise. You see people about this wide go jogging past your house, and you ask them why, and it's, it relieves anxiety. Some use meditation. I've tried that. Can't do it. I keep falling asleep. Then it becomes horizontal meditation. Then there's a mindfulness fad that's going around. Some people are practicing this mindfulness. I've never really gotten into that either. But today we're going to look at a foolproof way to manage frustration and anxiety, and I'll continue part two of that next week. But today is how to be calm in the soul. And this is a statement of Jesus that we're going to look at from John. And this is how it reads. If you love me, obey my commandments. See, that's the bottom line. What did he command? Well, you remember last week we talked about this. This is his final address to his students. He said, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That is simple, basic Christianity, where we choose to put ourselves out for other people. And I believe Jesus would add to that, that's it, and that's all. Then he says this, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. He's going to send you an advocate. This is a friend, another way of translating it, who whispers truth into your ear at all times. And he makes following Jesus easy. He goes on to teach about this. He says this, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and will later be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. See, the world can't receive him, he says, because the world works on a different system. The world works on greed. The world works on dog-eat-dog. The world is me first. The world is not interested in obeying Jesus. He said, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, he'll lead you to this obedience. He'll lead you to love, and you will not be abandoned. And then he says this, soon the world will no longer see me. But you will see me, since I live, you will also live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. This is the weird part. So Jesus reveals himself to you through obedience. The more you obey, the clearer he becomes. The more you love, the more you experience God's love. The narrative continues. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? And Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. See, Jesus is real big on this. Love is not a feeling. It's action. You do what he says, and then he makes his home with you. He says, these are the words of the Father who sent me. And then he goes, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. It used to be I'd go into bookstores all over the place, and there'd be if they were a Christian bookstore, there'd be a section on Spirit-filled living. Spirit-filled living is simple. It means to love each other, to project love, to pray for people even as you see them. I don't always do this, but when I do, I see amazing results. Jesus went on to say this, said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. It's a great gift, peace of mind and heart. See, He melts away anxiety and frustration and fear. So He says, don't be troubled and afraid, because He's got this. When you obey Jesus, you will have less anxiety. Now, most people have anxiety about performance. I used to have that more than I do now, but I still get it. You know, I can't remember ever having stage fright. But when I talked to my classmates, I must have had it, something awful, when I was in seminary. But I can't remember it. That's not an issue today. But today, it's more about performance. Because, you know, I want to do more than I can do, but I can't get it done. So I wish that I could clone myself. But every time I talk about that, somebody says to me, well, the world couldn't stand more than one of you. So that's out. But sometimes it's overwhelming. I've got a list of 20 things I want to get done in a day, and I know I can only get 10 of them done. And I get anxious. If I remember to pray for direction, that anxiety dissipates. Because all of a sudden it becomes perfectly clear which 10 I need to tackle first. So it works. And then when you obey Jesus, you have less frustration. All of us get frustrated with other people because of unmet expectations. We expect people to do a certain thing and they don't do it, and we get frustrated. The Alcoholics Anonymous people say that expectations are premeditated resentment. I think that's very true. We all have them. I'm going to give you a case of that. Right now, see, a few months ago, I hired some people to do landscaping around my house. I could have done it myself, but it would have taken forever. So I paid them half down and half at time of completion. This is my yard. I was not happy. I paid them half, and they covered up a third of my sprinklers with stones. And when I called them back, they uncovered the sprinklers, but they left the valves covered. I have no idea where my sprinkler valves are now. And I paid to have this thing seated. But as you can see, it's a little better than that. Now this picture's a couple days old. But it's frustrating. What do I do about this? You know, every Sunday I talk about being a representative of Jesus. How do you represent Jesus to this sort of thing? I thought long and hard about that. How do you do that? Well, I thought, I'm going to be nice to these people, but I'm not going to pay them. Henry Cloud is my favorite psychologist. He's a Christian psychologist He's a real believer out of California. And he said, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is let people experience the consequences of their own actions. And yep, when you do that, the frustration drops. It goes away almost completely. And then the last one, when you obey Jesus, you'll have less fear. He promises to give you peace of mind and heart. You get an advocate, you get a friend, you get a spirit that follows you around, takes care of things for you. When you obey Jesus, you have less fear. See, some folks have what's called panophobia, which is a fear of absolutely everything. You're afraid that the chair you're sitting on might collapse. Panophobic people I've seen at airports, they're about to get on a plane, they turn around and run the other way because they know for a fact that plane's going to crash. I'm flying in a couple of weeks, that's why I'm thinking about that. Some folks do have this panophobia. Are they afraid of disappointing people? See, and you can obey Jesus perfectly and you still are going to disappoint people. I found out that's true, and I always say to people, you know, I disappoint somebody every day, so maybe today's your day. And then it usually gets better. It does give you, though, the confidence that you're doing the right thing. See, fear, when you obey Jesus, is not completely eliminated, but it's greatly reduced. You know, you go from a migraine to a mild headache. It's pretty much how it goes. It's greatly reduced. You will find that when you obey Jesus' new commandment, the commandment to love each other, that peace of heart and mind greatly increase. This distraction technique that I talked about with little kids, I think that stays with us our whole lives. Because we can only do one thing well at a time. And you will find that when you obey Jesus' new commandment, when you're distracted by that, things go better. Because we can only focus on one thing. Now, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I know there's others of you here that are. And recognize Gandalf there. He's got that magic staff in his hand, that magic wand, and he can wave that thing and all sorts of good things happen. I wanted one of those. Somebody gave me one. I have my very own magic wand. And if I could wave it and give everyone peace of mind and heart, I would. But this dumb thing doesn't work. It's a dud. Doesn't do anything except entertain little kids when they come in my office. I know what does work, though. What does work is obeying Jesus, is loving one another, being busy making someone else's life better. Then you won't have time for fear or frustration or anxiety, because he takes it away. And you will, as my wife said, have calm in the soul, because that's what he likes to give. So let's believe this good news and live in peace. Pray with me, please. Lord, everyone here wants peace in their heart and soul. No one here wants anxiety or fear, frustration. We all want the peace that only you can give. It only comes from working with you. So give us the brains and the courage to work with you today and always. Amen.